You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
How's everybody this morning? Awesome, awesome. My name's Rob. I'm one of the pastors on staff, and even better than normally I would say, and I have the privilege of bringing you today's message, but even more exciting than that, I have the privilege of introducing a special guest we have with us. But before I introduce him and tell you a little bit about him, if you're here with me in person, can you help me welcome? We live stream this gathering around the state to some of our family who's not able to be here today and into correctional facilities. Would you help me welcome those joining us online? And if you're joining us online, you too get today's special guest. So we have with us today Jim Ryan and his wife Denise. They are coming to us. They're not originally from Texas, but they're coming to us from Texas. And I want to reassure you, we have told him all the jokes about Texas and how much bigger and better Alaska is. So he is primed and ready to love us as we're worthy to. But Pastor Jim, we actually invited him up to come and share with our staff this week. Pastor Jim and his wife planted a church 36 years ago in the San Antonio area. It's called Westover Hills Church. And there, that first Sunday, you said you had three people? And there's two of you. So there was one other person, and today, 36 years later, that church is over 5,000 people, huge influence in the San Antonio area and that community, and doing incredible things. And so we've asked Pastor Jim to come up to join us as staff so we can learn from him. They've got 42 acres, a number of buildings, have gone through a number of building projects, and so we as a staff are really excited. And we like to bring our guests up and really get them the most out of them. So we said, not only will you speak to our staff, but would you speak to our congregation as well? So Pastor Jim, thank you so much. Pastor Denise, thank you for coming up with him. And we're excited to hear what God's going to say through you this morning.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate being here. Wonderful host. We have been to Alaska once before. You know, the tourist thing on a cruise, you know, and do all of that. The Juno and all of that, but to really move in and meet Alaskan people and be a part of a church and a community. This is our first experience, and it's been all good. You folks are our wonderful hosts. Pastor Mark and Pastor Heidi and the team have just been wonderful. Thank you for your hospitality. And Church Online for joining us and being a part of this moment. What an honor. Now, I pastor, again, South Texas, San Antonio. It's a military city. We have several bases there. One is Lackland Air Force Base. Do we have any Air Force people here by chance? Any of them? There are a couple of them. You start in San Antonio. We're basic, and training is, and it's hot South Texas. We're just known for the heat. Right now, we're having a horrible summer. It's just brutal. Don't come to San Antonio during the summer. Come some other time, because the summer is just brutal with heat. But I greet you. We appreciate the military community. We're a military church as well, and we just, for all of our Army and Air Force and those that serve, thank you for what you do. God bless you very much. But again, it's just an honor to be here. And tomorrow, tonight and tomorrow, I'll be sharing with your staff and just having a wonderful time of growing together. Now, if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn it on, okay? Go ahead and do that. Luke chapter number 1. Let me introduce myself for just a quick moment while you're doing that. Again, Pastor Jim Ryan, my wife Denise, we have two daughters, two son-in-laws, we have four grandkids, two boys, two girls. We love our grandkids. People ask me, what's your hobby? Right now, our hobby is our grandkids right now. And they can do nothing wrong. We're in that stage, okay? I just got my first teenager grandchild just a few months ago, but he's my bud, and we hang together. We enjoy that very much. My wife and I, originally from New Mexico, we moved to San Antonio to go to Bible college. We ended up planting a church there. I kind of give my life story this way, okay? I'm going to give it to you in this. I was 14 when I was saved. I was 15 when I was called into the ministry and preached my first sermon. I got married when I was 17. We moved to Bible college when I was 19, planted the church when I was 27, and I've spent 36 years planting that church, building that church. In our time that we have been there, we have bought property 5 times. We worshiped in 6 auditoriums, and I just finished my 14th building program. Now you know why I look tired, okay? That's my story. Because when you're doing the work of God, you're just always saying, God, give me more territory. God, just, we're going to do something. And I'm thrilled today to be a part of a dynamic church. Pastor is at the other campus and ministering there, and I have the privilege of being here with you today. I want to speak on a subject today that's not just a title. I really believe that God has something that he wants to stir in our heart as I prayed about this service and prayed about this assignment to come and speak to you today. And I'm honored by that. And I believe that this is going to awaken something. I believe there are people in this room, you're in a hold moment. Maybe you even would feel like you're in a stuck moment. Perhaps you're in an indecision moment. Perhaps you're in an ambivalence moment. You're not sure. God, are you in this? God, are you not? And you're being very careful, because sometimes in the will of God, the fear of making the wrong choice keeps us in making no choice at all. And we're caught in that zone of indecision. Well, I want to share with you today a thought, and I pray that God awakens your faith in your heart and gives direction. And speaking on the subject, the power of yes. The power of yes. I was reading an article in Red Book magazine, and it said that a toddler, how many have toddlers? Toddlers, okay, grandchildren and children. A toddler will hear the word no 400 times a day. Don't touch that. No, don't do that. No, don't put that in your mouth. Don't stick that in your ear. No, don't touch that. No, don't do that. Don't, no, 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 no. And you never know that when we say no, we have to say it many times. No, 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 no. Okay? We never say yes, 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 but we always say no, right? Come on. Are you with me, moms? Are you tracking with? They say that if you have a toddler, they're going to hear no 400 times a day. So all of us here that are grown up, we have been inundated with the word no. The article went on to say that no can have some psychological damage on people, and they're trying to get parents to use new way of speaking to their children. And it says instead of saying no, you should describe what they're doing and let the 2-year-old determine what's the right thing to do. And it gave the example. If the child is banging something on the table, you don't tell them, no, don't do that. You just describe it. You're banging on the table. I wish my mom and dad had read that article. My mom and dad never read that article. My mom and dad never described, oh, you're spilling your stuff all over the floor. You're spilling all over the carpet. They never described anything. They would describe to me what would happen to me if I didn't stop doing that when they told me no. But they never used descriptive words of me. But I really wish my mom and dad had read that article. That is to say, for many of us, our first response to stuff is no. There is built within us this inhibition. You're saying no to your dreams. You're saying no to a plan. That God stirs something, that you latch on to something. No, you can't apply for that promotion. No, there's no way they'll hire you because you don't have the qualifications. No, that can't happen to you. No, you can't be happy. No, you did it wrong here, so no, you'll never be happy. And some of us, we live with remorse, and we live with the idea that maybe at some time in the past we messed up, and there is imprinted in us this indelible no in our life. It's like the first Assembly of God sign I saw in a community nearby. It was a church that was without a pastor and it needed some work, and it had a white sign on it that was just a plywood, and they cut out letters and they painted them blue, and it was in an arch, First Assembly of God. And somewhere, because of weathering and just not taking care of it, the R came off of the word first, and you would drive by and it would say Fist Assembly of God. And that's how some people see God. You better not, or God's going to give you the knuckle sandwich of his disapproval. I want to speak into us the power of yes. And some of us are caught in weakness. Weakness. Your W-E-E-K is really W-E-A-K. You're in weakness. This is for you someday. Tomorrow will be mourn day. Then there will be tears day, waste day, thirst day. There will be fight day, and then there will be shatter day. That's your week after week. It's just, how are things going today? And you describe it with all of the weight, the problems, the concerns, and you just feel stuck in a no moment in life. I want to call you to the power of yes. And with that in mind, I want to invite us to go to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 1. And the verses I'm going to read today are verses that are typically spoken on a Christmas weekend or a Christmas series, because it talks about the birth of Jesus, and it talks about Mary, and it talks about what we typically refer to as the inception, the incarnation, the Christmas story. But embedded in that, I believe, is something for every one of us. Let me set the scene. There was a young girl. Her name is Mary. She's probably 15, 16 years old at the most. Some theologians believe she may have been as young as 14. The Holy Spirit comes to her. She's not been married. She's never been with a man, and she's just a virgin, and the Holy Spirit says to her, you're going to give birth to a child, and she is just kind of astounded by this. She's a peasant girl from nowhere, and God has selected her. And that brings us to our text. Let's read together. Verse 34, and Mary says, but to the angel says, how can this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. She says, I know how this thing works. I figured this out. How can this work? I've never been with a man. I'm a virgin, and you're saying I'm going to give birth to a child. How is this going to happen? Verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so that the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said was to be unable to conceive, as she's in her 6th month right now. She's 6 months pregnant. She was too old, and God did it. And he adds this phrase, verse 37, no word from God will ever fail. Isn't that good news today? God's put a promise in your heart, no word from God will ever fail. If God has told you he's going to heal you, let me say, no word from God will ever fail. If God put it in your heart, you're going to be out of debt, no word from God will ever fail. If God told you that you're going to finish your degree, you're going to get the next level, your postgraduate degree, no word from God will ever fail. If God told you he's going to restore it back to you, if God told you what was done wrong to you, that God's going to give you favor, and that what was taken from you is going to be given back to you, I want to speak into you, no word from God will ever fail. And that brings us to verse number 38. And in verse number 38, it's going to give us a truth that I want to build on. Now, some people have asked, where and when was Jesus actually conceived in the womb of Mary? It's verse 38. I can tell you in the Bible, I can point you to one verse in the Bible, and it's this verse in the Bible that Jesus was actually conceived in the womb. For you see, prior to this, it says of Mary, You will conceive. You will. The Holy Spirit will come upon you. It's future tense. After verse 38 in the Bible, it says, and she is great with child. And she is the one to whom, and she is the one that is, and she is the one. After verse 38, it is always she is with child. Prior to verse 38, she will. And let's read that. And it says in verse number 38, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word to me be fulfilled. Then the angel left her. May your word to me be fulfilled. In the Message version, it renders it this way. And Mary said, yes. When Mary said yes to the promise of God, Jesus was conceived in her womb. I want to speak on the power of yes. For you realize when we say yes to God, we become pregnant with God's promises. When you say yes to God, the thing that you prayed about, the thing you believe, the thing you've held on, the thing that's been a part of your prayer life, the thing that you believed all of your life that God was going to do and you haven't seen evidence of it yet. The moment we say yes to God, we become, and I'm using the analogy, we become pregnant with God's promise. God begins to do something in us, and God begins to affirm something in us that is powerful and lasting. And with that in mind, let me just share with you a couple thoughts. First off, God's biggest miracle in your life is always on the other side of yes. God's biggest miracle in your life will be on the other side of yes. The moment Mary said yes, she became pregnant with God's promise. And your biggest miracle will be on the other side of yes. When you say yes to God, the greatest provision is on the other side of saying, yes, I will tithe. Your greatest breakthrough is saying, yes, God, I will follow your path. It's the businessman that says, I will do it the way God intends. I will build integrity in my business. I will do it God's way. And God's miracle comes on the other side of yes. It's the young adult that says, I will not compromise and cohabitate and live in. I will wait for God to send the right person in my life, and I will do it God's way. The other side of yes is the biggest miracle in your life. Don't shortcut what God is going to do by compromising. Always say yes to God. Furthermore, I share with us, number two, yes, a yes to God will overturn what you know and what you know. What you K-N-O-W and what you know, what you've said no to. There are times that God will begin to speak to us and God begin to stir in life and we say, oh, I know that won't work. There is no way. We try to analyze it. And guys, that's us. We try to analyze it. We try to rationalize it. I'm guilty of that all the time. You know, I'm trying to figure out, God speaks something to my heart, and I'm trying to bring it down to a place that I can grasp it, get a handle on it, figure it out, because I'm the kind of guy that needs a plan. And sometimes we can miss God because of what we know. Well, I know this can't happen, and I know this can't come to pass, because we look at the spreadsheet, we look at the calendar, we look at the schedule, we look at the resources we have. But our yes to God will overturn what we know. That's what Mary said. I don't know how this is going to happen because I am a virgin. And here's what God is saying. The other side of no will overturn what you K-N-O-W, but it also will overturn what you know. Some of us in this room, you've said no to God in the past. No, that can't happen. No, I could not be. I'm not that kind of person. That's not my temperament. I wasn't raised that way. I'm just not that way. That's just not who I am. And we say because we feel like what God is calling us to do, it's out of our comfort zone, and we have said no to it. Here's what I want to invite you. It's never too late to say yes to God. I don't think you caught that. Let me repeat that again. It's never too late to say yes to God. You can say yes to God today, and it will overturn all of the no's in our past. For you see, there's that indecisive no. There's that, I'm not sure if I'm going to do that. Have you ever seen that indecisiveness? you know, I'm not really sure. There's that conditional, well, maybe, maybe not, it could work. And the conditional is always based upon an if. You know, if God gives me a raise, and if God allows me to get time off, and if I get the promotion, and if my mother-in-law agrees with it, and if my, and if, and if, and if, and we put all of these ifs before God, it's a conditional yes we have. Very easy for us to do that. It's like the man who and the bride and groom that were standing before the minister, and he began to share with them the vows. You know, will you take her for better, for worse, for richer, poor, in sickness and health? He thought it was a multiple choice. He said, I'll take the better, I'll take the rich, and I'll take the healthy one. It's not a multiple choice, okay? Okay? That's what we want. We want to say to God, God, I want it the easy way. I want it the quick way. It's easy to say to God after the fact, yes. When the miracle has happened, when God has done it and God's provided and God's, oh, yes, God, you're in this. It's more difficult to say yes to God when you don't see that. The power of saying yes to God when you don't see evidence, but you in faith just believe and hold on to the promise that's in your heart. Somebody did that here. I looked at your brochure. This was handed to me today, and I was just glancing over right before service, and I see that this church started back in the 40s and then the 41, and it has a course of buildings that you have been in and a process, and then we saw pictures today of the construction work that's going on. Somebody said yes. Somebody in this past said yes. I look at the church I pastor. The church I pastor, Westover Hills Church in San Antonio, we feed right now 1,400 children a day in third world countries. In the poorest countries of the world, 1,400 children today, 365 days a year, will sit down twice a day to a meal, a hot meal, and be fed. And I celebrate that. We just came back from Africa, my wife and I, just a few days ago, and we were there dedicating a building our church had built, and we made a promise to help build another building, a two-story building, and Morogoro there in Tanzania, and what new project we're taking on. And I look at all that, and I say, it's wonderful. Did that happen? Did that happen because of a vote of a board? No, it required that. But did that go back to a time when I was 14 year old and I said yes to Jesus? Or was it that yes that created the why we're feeding 1,400 children a day? Or does it go back further when my mother tells the story to me? She said, I was 4 years old. And my daddy walked in and looked me in the eye and said, sweetheart, I have to go right now, but I'll be back soon. And she said she never saw him again for 20 years. And he walked out on them and left my grandmother with two kids, my mother, the oldest, and her sibling, my uncle, who had polio. And she couldn't feed two kids. And she knew no one would probably take on and want to care for a little boy with polio. So she couldn't feed him. She loved my mom, but she couldn't feed my mom. So she found a couple to just take my mom. And that day there was no formal adoption situation and papers down at the courthouse and interviews and all that. Just found somebody and a couple said, yes, we'll take her. And at 4 years old, took my mother in, and they attended a Pentecostal church. And because they attended a church, they took my mother, and my mother came to Jesus. Was it my mother's yes when she received Christ that created the yes of me saying to Jesus yes, the yes of me, my calling to God, and the yes of us feeding 1,400 children? Or was it the yes of my grandma and grandpa that died shortly after I was born? Was it their yes? Was it there? Yes. I want to suggest to us, the yes goes all the way back to an obscure place in the Holy Land. And a peasant girl by the name of Mary said yes to God. And because she said yes to God, her yes has reverberated all the way through the centuries. And a Pentecostal couple said, yes, we'll raise a four-year-old little girl. And my mother said yes to Jesus. And then because of that, she took me to church, and I said yes to Jesus. And I answered yes to a call of God. And someone back in 1940 said, yes, we're going to plant a church there in Fairbanks. And it took another yes to buy another piece of property, and another yes. And now a whole congregation of people in two campuses, five services are saying, yes, whatever God says, we'll be God's yes men in this hour and this moment. The power of yes. One syllable, one response. When the heart says yes to God. You see, the enemy is always going to try to, Satan's always going to try to talk you out of your yes. He's going to tell you that you're not good enough, smart enough, talented enough. He's going to point out all of your flaws, why you can't take that next step level, and why God won't use you. But one yes to God silences the devil. Do you know who asked the first question in the Bible? The first question in the Bible was asked by Satan. Can I tell you, every time you do something from God, Satan's going to put a question mark on. In fact, have you ever noticed the question mark kind of looks like a serpent, doesn't it? It just kind of looks like a serpent. He will always put a question mark over your life. And some of you have a question mark over God's love. Can God love me? You've heard that. Can God forgive? Can God take you and use you? Can God take you? And there's a question mark, because this serpent, Satan, the enemy, guilt, condemnation, has put a question mark over you. But Jesus comes, and on the cross, he introduces God's exclamation mark, and it's settled. One yes from man brings in the miracle of God. Yes, the power of yes. You're one yes away from your greatest miracle. Pastor Rob, would you come?
Thank you, Pastor Jim. It's a simple word to say, isn't it? Yes. As Pastor Jim was sharing, I was thinking of two groups of people that I believe are here with us today, and very specifically to receive that word, whether you're here with us in person or online. And the first is those of you who are here, where you're here because you've said yes to Jesus, and he's put something in your heart. And I want to encourage you to begin to take the next steps. And that yes is the first step. Yes, God, I'll believe in you, I'll follow you. But there's a calling of God. And to serve and to minister. And I want to highlight GrowTrack. And it is a bit of a plug for what we offer, but it's a great way to know, okay, now how do I begin to walk out this saying yes to God? I don't want it to just be a word I say on Sunday. I want it to be something that I now go and live out. And if that's you and you know there's been something, a dream, a plan, a desire of God conceived in your heart that you have said yes to, then jump into GrowTrack and learn how to now walk that out and to see that thing birthed and raised and fulfill all that God has created it for. And so GrowTrack, we have it here. We have it at College Road. It's available. You can find out more information about it online. And the second group I feel that God was just highlighting today is maybe you're here and you're here. I don't know what brought you here today, but you haven't said that initial yes to Jesus. That simple, I want to know Jesus in my life. I want to say yes to him as my Lord and Savior. And that is the greatest yes any of us will ever get the opportunity to say. And if you're here today and through the message of Jim, Pastor Jim, or through the fellowship or the worship, whatever it might be, there's a stirring and you're in that place, whether you're here in person or online, and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I want to lead you in a simple prayer to say yes to Jesus. Here at True North, we call it the ABCs. And it's simply admitting. I admit I have not said yes to Jesus. I've said yes to myself. I've said yes to the world. I've said yes to my sins. But I haven't said yes to Jesus. I admit that today. And then B is believe. Believe in who Jesus was. Believe in his death and resurrection again is enough. And if we say yes to that, we can be in relationship with God from today for all eternity. And C is confess him as Lord. And that is basically a fancy way of saying, Jesus, I say yes today. I give my life to you today. If you're here today or watching online and you are just, there's that Holy Spirit stirring to say yes to Jesus, would you pray a simple prayer with me? Just repeat it after me. I'm going to ask everyone in here, would you bow your head and close your eyes? And if that's you and you're ready to say yes to Jesus, because I'll tell you this, God is ready to say yes to you. Yes to your desire to be part of his family. Yes for you to be in relationship with him. And if you're here today, online or in person, and you're ready to say yes, would you pray this prayer with me? Jesus, I admit I've not said yes to you, but today, based on my faith in who you are, that you came as a man, died on the cross, and rose again, I believe in you, Jesus, and I say yes to you today. I give my life to you and say yes to eternity with you, starting today, relationship with you. Jesus, come into my life in response to my yes. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.